Welcome to Dare, Share, Create the podcast. Conversations, concepts, and insights from people who have dared to go after their dreams, who share their gifts with the world, and who create the life that they want. I'm your host, Elizabeth Valentine, voiceover artist, singer, speaker, and coach. This podcast aims to free you from whatever's holding you back, spark transformation, and is designed to give you the courage, inspiration, permission, and tools to live your best, most inspired, and fulfilled life so you can make the biggest positive impact in the world. Now, on to today's conversation. So, hello and welcome to this episode of Dare, Share, Create the podcast with me, Elizabeth Valentine. So today, I've not got one, but I have two wonderful guests for you. They are Lewis and Izzy from the folk country Americana duo, Two Ways Home. So over the years, they have established themselves as a key player in the UK country scene, both with their amazing original music, their co-writing collaborations with artists such as Liz McLennan from Atomic Kitten, Twinnie and Kenny Foster, and their wildly successful intimate songwriting night, The Roundup. These guys have toured the world. They've played shows in Nashville, New York, Austria, Germany, the Netherlands, and of course, the UK, where they are based. Izzy is actually Austrian, but Lewis is British. So their music can regularly be heard in Cafe Nero's across the UK, who also crowned them Artist of the Month in October 2019. And you can hear them on the BBC and on Country Hits Radio and many more places. They've released three successful and critically acclaimed EPs. And their debut album, Break the Silence, was released in 2020, unfortunately moments before Corona shut down the entire industry. So they really had to adapt very quickly and find other ways of making a career in the music industry. And listen, if you're not into country folk Americana, don't worry, you are going to love these guys. So, Lewis and Izzy, welcome to Dare, Share, Create.
Hello!
What a fantastic intro there. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. That was amazing.
You forget what you've done.
Wow. You're something special now.
Well, you guys are something special, but you're right, Izzy. You do forget. I think we all forget what we've done and how far we've come. And for you lovely listeners, I should actually tell you that we went to the same music college and did our degree. Izzy, you're a year above, but Lewis and I actually did our degree together. And it's been such a pleasure following you and seeing you sort of from the very beginning when the band was called My Little Austrian Friend, because Izzy is Austrian and not that tall. And just seeing how you guys have kept momentum and kept being very, very steadfast in daring to go after your dream. And you have consistently obviously shared your gifts with the world, which is second value of this podcast. And I love the fact that you guys create and create and create.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me, like, when your album was released last year, Break the Silence, and I know that you'd spent months and months working on the project, you had financed it with a really successful GoFundMe campaign. Was it GoFundMe?
Yeah, it was a crowdfunding campaign, but with Indiegogo.
Yeah,
Indiegogo. Those are the ones. And obviously, I know how much time and effort it takes. I've only released one EP, but I remember how much work that was getting it to a state where it was released. And then the world shuts down, and I know you guys had all this big tour planned. You had all these appearances planned. And the plan just goes down the toilet.
Yep.
How did you handle that disappointment?
Well, at first we thought, oh, it's not going to be that long. It'll be fine. It'll be a few months. We did have a tour planned in the UK and also through Europe. And then I think we pretty much released the album like a week before the UK said, okay, we're shutting everything down. And then we had to obviously kind of cancel these tours, and we tried to move our UK tours for later, but then that kind of had to cancel as well, because after the 3 months that we thought, oh, it's gonna be fine after 3 months, well, it wasn't fine, so we had to do them as well.
I think we realized pretty soon that rescheduling may be out of the question for the foreseeable. And we kind of made a decision early on that we weren't going to book gigs knowing we may have to cancel, because we've definitely been there a few times this year when we've had gigs to see bands that we love. And it's almost worse to get really excited about the show for then it to be cancelled. So we decided we'd take a step back from gigging and not really worry about the... Once we'd got our head around it, we didn't really let the fact that our plans had been destroyed discourage us. We just took the time to explore other areas that maybe we'd not done so much in our careers.
Yeah, like, for example, the live streaming thing. We had never really thought about doing live streams because it didn't really appeal to us. I was kind of like, nah, I don't want to do live stream because it's kind of like you're not really live because it's still through a screen, but then the sound isn't as good as if it was recorded and perfect. So we were always like, not sure.
I think we saw it as maybe the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
However, I have to say, after we'd got into the rhythm of it, and even from the first one, realized straight away the pluses that it brings that nothing else can really do.
Yeah.
Kind of case in point, the interaction we've had with our fans has been so much more personal in many ways. Because when you're doing a live stream, that it's not like everybody's in a room together. Nobody's ever going to put their hand up in a gig and say, excuse me, I noticed you're playing a different guitar this week. could you please tell me where it's from and a little bit about it? But when there's that safety of a screen between everyone, I think people feel a lot more comfortable asking questions, for sure. And also it allows you to take the time to answer them. Like if you're on stage, as much as we'd love to answer such questions, kind of ruins the rhythm of the live set a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But isn't that funny? Because we naturally think that we're going to be less connected through a screen, that we're not going to be able to have that really personal experience. But obviously, you guys having to do things differently and really explore that, I know you've built your following. And as you say, you can actually interact on a really personal level. And also for those fans who maybe, because we know what it's like when the gig, you might talk to a few fans afterwards, but there is going to be the shy one who just sits there and goes, I love these guys, they're awesome, but not come up and say hi. And also sometimes after a gig, it's a little bit awkward because you're on a buzz and...
Yeah. It is talking to fans after a show, it is awkward even as much as you never want it to be, but it's... you know, you want to take time and talk to people and give them the time that they want. But then also sometimes, I'm not saying this is like this for every gig that we play, but sometimes there is a bit of a queue at the merch stand after the show. And, you know, you can't be talking to one person for half an hour with a bunch of other people waiting. So I guess it has been really nice to talk to people. And oddly, we've managed to kind of build our community, and not just in the sense that we've got to know our fans better, but our fans have got to know our fans better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's definitely friendships that have started through these live streams, as they do through shows we've done over the years as well, I think. I hope.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that? And what an unexpected side effect from something you could see as really negative. But the fact that you guys have kept sharing your gifts, which I'm going to be going on about, as I do on these podcasts, because that's what it's all about. But what a beautiful unexpected side effect that actually you are connecting other people through your music. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the arts and why we need to really keep fighting for the arts to be an integral part of our lives.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, like Lewis said, there's lots of people who come on and they just chat in the chat to each other, and it's really nice to see how they interact.
Yeah,
that's kind of what music is about for us as well, like just bringing joy to people's lives. Like our band is pretty like lighthearted and fun, I think. Obviously, we have the songs which are like more deep or where it gets sad at times, but I feel like in the overall kind of bracket of what we do, we do want to make people happy, and it's about like the joy of like being together and just like, yeah, being happy. So that's really nice to see that people are interacting and kind of like making their day, basically. So yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely. And shouldn't that be really one of, shouldn't that be everyone's goal, to bring more joy into the world?
Hopefully.
For sure. I mean, I think that's one thing we've always known, but we've realized more over the last year that ultimately we love making music, and if people love the music we're making and we get to share that, we get to share our gifts, as you really, I really like that expression. I've not heard anybody say that in an interview quite the same way you have. Then that's got to be the best thing that, you know, we can do all round, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I love about you as well, I love everything about you guys, but you're really good at being consistent. You've got your hump day harmonies, which, if people who are listening, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll often see me repost because I love them. Lewis and Izzy does a reinterpretation a cappella, which means there's no music underneath, so you guys to sing in four-part harmony, and you have a little video, so there's two Izzy's and two Lewis's singing. And it's honestly something I look forward to seeing in my Instagram feed or on Facebook on Wednesday mornings, is a little new piece, and it's generally, what, 1 minute long? But it brings joy.
Even
less, sometimes 30 seconds.
Yeah. How do you guys keep coming up with new songs? And how did that come about? How did you come up with that idea?
Actually, I can't remember how it came about. I think it was Lewis's idea.
I feel like we're both ideas people. Sometimes I feel like I can come up with quite creative ideas, and Izzy's very good at actually making sure they happen. And that's that's sometimes how we work well.
Yeah.
Not that Izzy doesn't come up with great ideas too, of course, but I think I came up with this one. It's been done before. I mean, the four people in the singing a cappella, but we were seeing lots of people doing it, and it's sounding kind of good. But what we wanted to focus on was trying to light it really well, trying to just shoot it well, and trying to make something that was a bit more glossy, a glossy Ashinia version of that. Mm-hmm. I have to say, it's one of the best little regular features we've done.
Yeah.
I think the regularity of it has been brilliant for us. One, it helps us tell which day of the week we're on throughout the last year, because the days can bleed into each other at the moment.
They can indeed.
But the routine's been fab. And I think we've learned a lot doing it.
Yeah. Just like being able to sing harmonies quicker, just learning songs quicker. And also just, like Lewis said, just keeping that routine and kind of thinking, okay, we have to do this. This is something people are now expecting, this thing on Wednesday. And we've had so many people say, oh, we really look forward to the Wednesday when the Hump Day Harmonies comes out. And my mom and like fans and just like everyone's like, oh, yeah, when that Hump Day Harmony comes out, it's so good in the morning. So yeah, now we feel like we have to do it. But it kind of keeps us accountable, I guess, is the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we're doing them, we don't kind of sit down and practice the songs particularly. I'll either play in some kind of backing track on the guitar, or we'll try and find one that's already there. And we'll sing it through a couple of times, and we'll try and sing it as instinctively as possible. And I think as a result, we've done some different arrangements. As you said, it's not just the standard three-part, four-part harmony every time. We've tried to kind of work in our own little spin on it.
Yeah,
because some of them are really unusual. And you go, oh, I didn't expect it to go there at all. But I know what you're saying about accountability, because I think a lot of our listeners are people who are, you know, maybe solo entrepreneurs, a bit like me. And finding accountability is so difficult if you are just kind of working to your own deadline. But I love the fact that in a partnership, and I think you guys have really got that down to a T, even though you both are great with ideas, having someone who is really good at getting it executed until the time when it becomes that people are expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important.
I think that's been one thing that I've noticed from the start, and I'm sure we've spoken about it a lot in the past, is we're so grateful that we've got each other in so many scenarios of making it as an independent artist in, yeah. or just as anyone going out and doing anything creative, business minded in the world. It's hard on your own. And every second of this trip, I am thankful that I've got Izzy to bounce ideas off, to just talk through everything. I don't know whether either of us would have carried on with this thing mm-hmm. so consistently without, well, we wouldn't have without each other. I think it'd have been a different story. So.
And I feel like sometimes I have doubts, sometimes Lewis has doubts, but because the other one is there, you're kind of just pushing the other one on. And sometimes you have bad days, but you always have this other person who can say, okay, it's only today, which is bad, it's going to get better. So yeah, just finding that person to do that for you is important, I think.
It's rare that we're both on a downer.
Yeah.
That is so true. And finding that person, and it doesn't even, I suppose, have to be someone you work on the same project with, but finding even someone where you can call them up and go, I'm freaking out today and I need to get this done and I just need a sparring partner. And that's why I have my entrepreneurs group, and we meet and have done for almost a year and a half now, every Tuesday morning. I think there's been 3 Tuesdays where we haven't met, like on Christmas Eve or something, but otherwise we meet every week, obviously over Zoom because we're based in different places. But having those accountability partners is so vital, and I think it has been vital for your success, because also when we are starting things up, and especially obviously in the music industry, but with anything, it takes time to see the results. So how have you guys kept faith that you were on the right trajectory, especially in those earlier years where, you know, where people were still finding out about you and you were building your fan base? How have you guys sort of kept faith?
I feel like for me, it's kind of like, I don't know what else I would do. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I just feel like I need to be an artist, be a singer. I like being on stage. That kind of like is what I think I'm here to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel it's also this thing that there's not really a plan B. So that kind of gives me the drive to keep going, because I'm like, well, I don't really want to do anything else at the moment. And of course, there's like times when you kind of veer off your kind of path a little bit. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I could do this and this. And it's nice to have different projects. But you always kind of like come back to that one thing that you really want to do, I think. And that's always what happens with me. Like when I feel a bit down, or I feel like, oh, I don't know if this is going anywhere, and you take a little break, for example, then you get kind of like new inspiration to keep going again. So that's like how I kind of kept going.
Mm-hmm. I think when you asked, how did we know if we were on the right trajectory or on the right path, or how do we keep to that path?
Yeah.
I sort of feel like I never really thought of what the trajectory was. And I think when we started making music, we just started singing and playing together, and we'd never grown up listening particularly to the exact genre that we play, but we started playing it together and it worked and we went with it. And whenever we've got to a different juncture, I don't think we have ever really knew what the right way was to do. We just kind of picked what we wanted to do and tried to. I sort of always feel like you can only do the best you that's possible. As soon as you try and start doing the more rocky songs because people like that, or doing the songs about this genre because they do well, as soon as you start thinking like that, you're no longer trying to be the best version of yourself. You're trying to do something else. And I feel like all you have to offer is just to be the best version of what you do creatively. If that makes any sense.
It does make sense. I feel like you have to trust in that you are unique and that's something that you can give the world. Because I feel like so many people have this like imposter syndrome thing where they think like, oh, why am I allowed to do this? Why can I do this? But it's because like you're the only version of you that there is. So I think that's quite powerful in itself.
So, I like where we're going here, team.
Oh, 100%. We should all strive to be the best we can be. And I think you're right. There is a lot of imposter syndrome. There's a lot of us looking online and thinking, oh, they're doing that. I should be doing that too. And lots of people giving advice. You should do that. You should do that. And really stepping into yourself and going, okay, but what matters to me and what feels right to me? And then just do that, even though things maybe not necessarily make sense to other people. And I suppose especially if you have management, if you have whoever it could be, people who want the best for you, but they don't necessarily know what that is because they're looking at you through their lenses and maybe with their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that you guys have done, which I think has been really interesting, is that you have created lots of brand collaborations. How's that come about? And all the coffee and the beer and...
This again, like saying what trajectory are we on? I mean, you say it as if we had a master plan, Elizabeth. These things just happened. It was... I mean, we've always been coffee enthusiasts. I think maybe you growing up in Vienna...
Definitely.
Renowned for great cafes and coffee houses. And I've always been, like, my dad is big into coffee and we have a coffee machine at home. And I always liked trying different things. So it's just something we always did. And whenever we go somewhere, we're on tour or whatever, we have to find the best coffee shop in the town and check it out and just see what's going on. And I think when we started doing our live streams, we're always very conscious that, yeah, we play music and it's about us, but it's great if you can focus it around something. So the morning streams we did on a Tuesday were always about coffee on the couch. We're on a sofa, we're drinking coffee, and we talk a bit about it. And I guess we started and just started trying out new coffee, and then all of a sudden some coffee roasters are starting to tune into our live music because we've been posting about their coffee or posting about different coffees. And obviously with the whole social media influencer society we're in, people are more than used to saying, oh, hey, if I talk about your coffee on my show, will you give me some free coffee and some money and stuff? And we definitely didn't do that. We just got a couple of brands got in touch and said, hey, how about we send you some coffee? And no strings, you just drink it, tell us if you like it, whatever, it doesn't matter.
And
we then took it upon ourselves to, like, this is an awesome offer, awesome opportunity. And if we liked the coffee, which we didn't of all the coffees that we got sent, I have to say, but if we really loved them, like particularly Symposium coffee roasters are ones that we just loved from the first beans that we got, then we want to shout about that. And we kind of did. So
yeah,
I think it became mutually beneficial all around.
Yeah. I think it was just nice because it's like another element that we brought to our live streams. So people didn't just tune in because they wanted to hear the songs. It was also about, oh, what coffee is Tua's home going to drink this week? And then, like, what beers are they going to have? And it's just another, like, way to connect with people. Because obviously, well, not all our fans, but a lot of our fans love coffee. So they're like, oh, we need to try this. And where can we get it? And so it was quite nice kind of thing to collaborate on. And also then this thing came about where we said, well, how about when you go on tour again, how about going to different coffee roasters and just like doing little interviews with them? Because we are really interested in how the process works. and just like where the coffee comes from, what it tastes like. And there's loads of stuff to learn. So I feel like it was kind of like a little lockdown project.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can see that you have been really authentic. I don't drink coffee, by the way. I've tasted one cup of coffee in my life in Spain where someone's like, you have to try it. What do you mean you've not, never drunk a cup of coffee? You have to try. And I tried and I was like, oh my God, blah. But I can appreciate your guys' passion for the coffee. And you can tell that there's a difference between how you have approached it. And I think that's why it's come across organically. Mm-hmm. That it's not, oh, this is product placement, which is what you see a lot on social media. And you can tell very easily when someone has been paid to endorse a product that really they maybe couldn't care less about. And when someone is just really into it, like you guys with your coffee and with your beer. I don't drink beer either, but I enjoy seeing you guys go, oh, this is the beer we're going to have. And again, it's about finding things that we like to be nerdy about. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have our things. And so often, perhaps in the being the best self or your best version of yourself, that maybe a lot of people seem a bit embarrassed about the things that they're nerdy about. But I think we should really celebrate that and go, hey, I love this. And then we're going to attract the people who are interested in the same or who resonate with that. Instead of going, oh, okay, I see that she's doing that, I'm going to do the same.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether it's like a personality trait that everybody has or some people are lucky enough not to have it. But I certainly have that if I'm into something, whether it be guitars or guitar pedals or...
Oh, God, guitar pedals.
or beers. It's not the fact that the whole beer thing that we did on with the live streams... It wasn't just about the fact that we like getting drunk. That was the smallest factor of it. Really, it was the factor of, with this new emergence of small bespoke craft breweries and session IPAs and this whole explosion and this whole culture of it. It's about the artwork on the can. It's about what...
Yeah.
I mean, whilst it is beer and it's a, you know, it's an alcoholic export, it's also a real creative process for people. And you can feel that in this. Whereas, you know, when you drink a can of Foster's, no disrespect to Foster's, I mean, it's fine, but there's a lot, it feels like there's a lot more personal love that goes into, say, Cloudwater or like there's a whole bunch of Hackney brewers that the artwork's been thought out. It's creative. It's a cool, it's just a cool culture. And I think that's the important thing. That's why we get into it, and that's why we're collectors of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And as we are moving into a world where it becomes more big corporations, us supporting small businesses, like I get my fruit and veg from Riverford Organic Farmers. I love them because they have created such an all-round beautiful experience. Obviously the produce is great, but it's everything around it that has got so much soul that those kind of businesses I think we absolutely should support and promote. And I feel like they are hopefully the way forward instead of something that feels very soulless because it's so big and you don't have a relationship with Foster's. If it's the beer we're talking, I don't have anything against Foster's either. Or we don't have, you know, maybe a relationship with the farmers who supply the local supermarket. We just don't.
I was just going to say a small point on this. I was going to say, I guess the difficulty is it with the whole thing is big companies offer convenience at low prices, which invariably the other ones can't. So I think people have to be willing to value things enough to warrant spending more and get a better service. And I think that's therein kind of lies the problem. And I think that's something Izzy and I luckily have in common. We're both more about investing in people and smaller businesses over big big companies just for the sake of it. If the big company makes something incredible, there's no reason why that's not a good thing. But I think we're both willing to invest more money in things that I guess I'm maybe more creative and have more love put into them.
Yeah. I think that actually lockdown has kind of made us shop more locally and kind of look at all the smaller businesses around, which is really nice. I think that's like a positive coming out of this whole like lockdown situation, because we just basically bought everything from just our local shops.
Big supermarket, yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, sorry. Before we would have often kind of got everything from the big supermarket.
Yeah, but now we've like bought everything from small shops.
Fruit and veg stands. If you can find a good fruit and veg stand, people, get out there to your local fruit and veg stands now and buy local stuff. It's brilliant.
It is.
It is brilliant. And of course, it's also the thing that with certain things that matter to you, you want to spend more. And then with other things, maybe it's not as important, but it depends on what are the values and what are the things that you place value on. I think it's been a great thing. And I have to say, I think the supermarkets have done a remarkable job sort of feeding everyone and keeping everyone in all the necessary things in this lockdown. So I don't want to take away from that. One of the things I always ask my lovely, lovely guests, and you guys can have three each if you so choose, or you know, you just say what comes to mind. But one of the things I always ask my guests is, what are three pieces of advice that you would either give your younger self or you would give a young loved one who comes and asks you, hey, how do I create my dream life? Or what are the secrets to just being happy?
Oh my God, that's hard.
It's hard to think of the best thing to say.
For me, one thing actually I've learned in the last, I think maybe 3 years, is it's really mind over matter in terms of when you, for example, do sports or you want to run or you want to just do anything which takes endurance, your mind plays tricks on you. Your mind is like, no, you can't do it anymore. You can't do it anymore. But you can. So I feel like that's something I would say, like, if you really put your mind to something and you think, I can run the last 5 minutes, you can do it. And it kind of just like clicks a little switch, or that's what happened for me. Like, there's just something which kind of clicked, and I was like, okay, if I tell myself I can do this, I can do this.
That is so important when you are chasing your dream or daring to go after your dream. You have to have that mentality, whether it is a dream of running 5K or whether it's a dream of being a full-time musician and putting out beautiful music, or whether it's a dream of, you know, building a really successful business. I think you're right, mind over matter, because our mind wants to keep us safe. And when we're doing something new or challenging, that can be perceived as a threat. So I love that. Thank you.
Mine's maybe expanding slightly on something that we touched upon earlier. I'd say, like, I guess the newest instrument that I consider myself to have got to a intermediate stage at, let's say, is singing. It's not something I've done for my whole life. I've always just wanted to be able to sing. It's an ability that I wanted to have. But I think it's a very transferable concept. I always coveted other singers. I always wanted to sound like this guy. And I tried to sound like this guy, and I tried to sound like that guy. But it was only once I feel like I stopped trying to sound like or somebody else or do something else, and only really started telling myself, even if I didn't believe it at the start, that you have a quality to your voice that is just yours. And who knows, if you do that the best you can be, perhaps somebody else, some that will be thinking, this is a cool voice that, you know, that would be, somebody would be lucky to have. And I think it was only once, it's only something that's really started happening over the last year or so. Once you settle into the groove of stop trying to do anything else and trying to understand what makes you good at what you do, only then have I actually felt any real confidence in singing and performing in that way. And that was quite a big epiphany for me. Maybe it's something that sounds super straightforward, but I guess it's just back to the being you, just being yourself.
But I think that is so important. And by the way, which you will hear people, because I'm going to put in one of Lewis and Issa's songs at the end of this episode so you can hear how awesome they are. And you sound great. And I love the fact that you decided to, no, I'm going to sing as well. Because obviously in the beginning you played the guitar more. Mm-hmm. And you've got a great voice and it is uniquely yours. And whenever you start to sing, I know immediately that it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be some, you know, some singers where you're like, oh, who is that? It might sound good, but you want to know who you're listening to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like I wanted to sound like James Bay when he came up. But there is a lot of James Bay voices out there, and I guess it is just better to be yourself.
Yeah. I think another point, just what I would tell my younger self, is the classic, like, don't be afraid of failure.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you do learn a lot from your mistakes. And also that thing of, why are we so scared of failing? Just like the fear factor is something which kind of like is so damaging, because we're just, I mean, I understand that like years and years and years ago, people had to have fear because they had to run away from like animals that were going to kill them. But yeah. Nowadays, I feel like we're pretty safe in the environment that we are in, well, yeah, in the Western world anyways. So the fear thing is such a weird concept. Why are we scared of failing? Why do we have to be scared of failing? So I feel like that's something I would say to my younger self, like, don't be afraid to just like fail, whatever, you'll learn something from it.
For sure. And there's always, I agree, there's always great lessons in failing. And I suppose as because of the way we've been brought up in school and society, if you, in quotes, fail, well, then you might get ridiculed and you'll get a bad grade if you fail. And I think we're not really taught when we're younger that it is okay to fail. And we're not taught, okay, so what did you learn from the fact that that thing didn't go so well? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not maybe a conversation, certainly not a conversation I ever remember having had.
I guess it also leads on to the fact that we shouldn't really care so much what other people think about us. Because, I mean, of course, I care what my friends and family think of me. But anyone outside of that, like, not everyone's going to love you.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of just deal with that in a way that you think, well, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't have to be liked by everyone.
I mean, I think in general, I've never met anybody that doesn't like you. But I'm assuming you mean more like what you produce, like your music.
No, but I mean also like you as a person. Like, I think, you know how you just sometimes find people annoying? I bet there's people who find me annoying, and that's fine.
Yeah, you can get pretty annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I've thought of a couple of things that I guess I've thought about more after having more downtime and more time to reflect over the last year or so. Mm. One thing I kind of realized with music, but really with anything, it can also be with like athletic things. I think as a kid and as a teenager, when I was learning, say, guitar, for instance, there was always that guitar solo that I heard that was like, okay, that's this guy, and this guy's one of the best guitarists on the planet, and he can play that, and that because he's one of the best, and I'm where I'm at, but he's a pro and he's an adult, and that's where he's at. And I'm content with maybe I'll never be able to play that thing, or there's this guy or this singer that can just do that, and that's, you know, that's beyond what I will be able to achieve. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've realized with guitar playing, I am far from a virtuoso on the instrument, but everything that I've been really passionate about learning or achieving, I have been able to do. There is a way to it. It's just a slow, steady process, provided, like, there's never any shortcuts you can take on anything. With guitar, there's nothing. As soon as people take shortcuts, you can see it and you can feel it in their playing. But for me, there was a particular solo by Slash from Guns N' Roses, and that was always unattainable to me. And then the other day I found myself, I also teach guitar, I found myself in a guitar lesson teaching it to a 16-year-old student, thinking, man, this has kind of gone full circle. I've gone from never thinking I could ever play this thing to showing somebody else how to play it. It seems bizarre. So I guess it's just anything is achieved. Like, you can achieve way more than you could ever imagine. It just comes down to doing it consistently, little and often, which is not something I am always great at, but occasionally I get it right.
I love that. That was a beautiful way to finish this great conversation with Lewis and Issy from Two Ways Home. Now, it's quite exciting because they have a new single that has just been released. And we're going to put it at the end of this episode so you guys can hear how wonderful these guys are. So, do you want to introduce the song for us?
Yeah!
So it came out a few days ago and it's called...
Conquer the World!
Re-explored. Mm. Yeah, it's Conquer the World Re-explored.
And it's because you've re-explored the song from your album now that the album has come out, but you couldn't, you know, promote it and do all the things as we spoke about earlier in the episode. So you are re-exploring the song and making a brand new version of it.
Yeah, this song was definitely a fan favorite in our live streams. And we like how it turned out on the album, but we always had it pegged as more of a kind of pop anthem. And we decided to start from the ground up. We recorded, produced, and mixed everything in our home studio, mm-hmm. which just felt like a good thing to have done over the last year. Hence calling it Re-Explored.
Yeah, we made it a bit faster, a bit more punchy.
Nice.
Yeah, you can hear it now.
So before we start playing Conquer the World by Two Ways Home, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode of Dare, Share, Create with me, Elizabeth Valentine. And as always, till next time, keep daring, keep sharing, and keep creating.
It's a stream, but it's growing, flowing like a river. It's a slither, but I'm hoping you consider a meander while we float. Your touch is a sugar-coated feeling, but it's healthy, not concealing your demons. I had mine, but you freed them. I don't say I want to toe the line. I don't want to walk it either. I'll draw one in the sand. What is a man if he's not a believer? Someone you're a cause, you're the then I wake up every morning with some meaning, feeling like I could conquer the world. But you tell me, baby, I don't need to. Like I could conquer the world. But you tell me, baby, I don't need to. We both wanna try to make a difference. Make a mark with a pretense. Life is too fleeting not to listen to the beating of a heart. Skip like stones across the sea. I know you can make me stronger. Together we're just conquering everything, standing in our path. So let's hold it for a moment while the moment lasts. You're the reason.
conquer the world, but you tell me, baby, I don't need to. Like I could conquer the world, but you tell me, baby, I don't need to.